Tim, I would like to say to you, Happy Mother's Day.
To you as well, my
brother. It's weird when two guys say Happy Mother's Day to each other, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I was going to make an explanation, but I just realized if I did, I'd probably get kicked off the station.
Yes. Folks, thanks for tuning in. You are listening to The Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario. Joy 1250 is the name of the station. They tell us 150 countries are tuning in at this point in time.
That's awesome.
That's what they tell us.
Who tells you this? Just random people?
Yeah, random people.
Some guy you walk by. 130 countries, way to go.
And meet them at the pub. Well, the cast of The Waltons, not too long ago, celebrated their 40th anniversary of the hit series that ran for a decade, making Ms. Michael Learned the quintessential TV mom as Olivia Walton, beating Shirley Partridge. That phrase reminds me of Happy Gilmore beating up Bob Barker.
Yeah.
Beating Shirley Partridge by 6 years.
Good night, Shirley. Completely different meaning.
A very different meaning. Carol Brady by 4 years, and even Caroline Ingalls by 1 year. Audiences could and still can relate to families living in the Depression era. Though times were tough, much like today, love and sharing are abundant in this family as a result of the show, which she had been told wouldn't really survive its first season. Ms. Michael Learned has gone on to become a four-time Emmy Award-winning actress, three for The Waltons, and one for Nurse. She has received a People's Choice Award. It's been a three-time Golden Globe nominee. On stage, which I think is actually where she really shines, she starred in Steel Magnolias at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts, and a national tour of On Golden Pond in Lewis Black's One Slight Hitch. Other theater credits include Elizabeth the Queen. Do you know? I don't know who that is. Elizabeth the Queen.
It's either the first or the second.
At the Folger Shakespeare Library. Nothing says Shakespeare like Folger's coffee. Edward Albee's all over, and at the Gramercy. Boy, there's so... You know what? I don't want to read the bio anymore. This lady has done so much, and it's just an honor to chat with her. Please welcome to the show, Ms. Michael Learned. Hello, Michael.
Hello. You are so funny. I've been sitting here giggling away the whole time.
I am hilarious.
Except for when you read my credits. I hate that.
I know. It just...
That's so boring.
It dribbles on and on and on.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
That's what happens when you're old, you know?
I just realized that you were only, I think, about seven... No, sorry, 6 or 7 years older than Tom Selleck. That's pretty good.
Okay.
I put you and Tom Selleck. You could have dated Tom Selleck.
I don't know why you're putting me together with Tom Selleck.
I don't know. I think he's a handsome man. I think you're a beautiful woman, and your age isn't that far apart. You know, I don't know.
Sweet.
Something could have happened there.
Okay. I won't say a word to my husband.
No. Oh yeah. Sorry, I forgot about that.
Walton's PI.
We'll keep that totally private.
Please, just between you and me, in 150 countries. What books are on your bedside table? Because you are a voracious reader.
Oh, right at the moment, I'm thoroughly enjoying, Rowlands, who wrote Harry Potter.
Yes.
It's Galbraith, I think, is the name she writes by. I never can remember authors' names when I'm reading the book.
Right.
But it's a mystery, and it's really fun. It's a lot of fun. It's textured, and it's great fun. So nice. I'm just reading for pleasure right now.
Nice. You strike me, Michael, as someone who I think has maybe a bird feeder outside of your house. Hummingbirds.
How did you know? Actually, I'm creating an ecological disaster in the back of my house because now the birds sit on the telephone wires and wait, mm-hmm. the doves. And there are I don't just get one or two at the bird feeder now. I get hundreds, and the neighbors are not pleased.
The neighbors aren't happy with the humming?
They are not pleased. Well, you know, it doesn't ever rain here in California, so nothing ever gets cleaned off, if you know what I mean. Yeah, actually, we just today had a little bit of a shower, and it was so refreshing and beautiful.
Well, you know, I've heard that Hollywood people don't shower very often, so that's exciting. That was weird.
That was a little weird. We do shower. We just don't go out in the rain in the nude or anything.
No,
like that.
Who does that?
There is no rain.
So. No. You go out in the nude, just not in the rain. Have they finished the construction up behind your place, so all the new houses and whatever they're building up there?
Please don't say that. They're doing something up there, and I keep saying that I know it's going to be all kinds of apartment buildings or something, and my husband keeps saying, no, it's DWP, they're just doing something to the reservoir, but it's been going on for 4 years now. So. How do you know all this? Who have you been talking to, David Hogan?
I can't tell you. I figure.
You're not going to reveal your sources.
I cannot reveal my sources. I know nothing.
For me.
You do strike me as someone who is a pet owner. Who is your personal groomer?
I am.
You are the groomer?
And my husband preens me occasionally.
Well, and I think the real question I want to get to right away is, when was the last time you danced ballet?
Oh, my gosh. You're so sweet. That was a long time ago. 70 years, maybe?
Come on.
Can you imagine?
Who was it
that... I still take jazz classes.
Good for you. Good for you. That's why you're in such great shape.
I hobble away after each class, but I still do it. And I love it. I love to dance.
Who was it that said, Michael, you're not really a very good dancer. Maybe you should become a drama student.
My teacher in England. My gosh. Where did you get all this? This is... Yes, they did. I sat and cried at the back of the class. Endlessly. And the first thing she said was, Michael, could you cry a bit more quietly, please? And then when I won the Drama Cup, the teacher said, you're really not a very good dancer. Could you please? Maybe you should become a special drama student.
Student.
I said, okay. What did I know?
What did you know? Why did you cry so much?
I don't know. I think I was homesick, for one thing. And, you know, it was really a very beautiful school in an old Rothschild mansion in England. But I was so depressed as a child, which is why they sent me away, actually, oddly enough. good choice, right? She's depressed, send her away. So I would look out the window, and all I saw was Wuthering Heights, when in truth, it was quite a lovely, lovely school. And I got wonderful, wonderful training there. So in retrospect, I'm very grateful. But at the time, I think, you know, a lot of kids, teenagers and young kids, they're going through huge hormonal shifts. And for me, it was, I just cried a lot and shook a lot. And in those days, you weren't diagnosed or put on medication or anything like that.
No.
Get more exercise, or in my case, it was send her away to be with people that are interested in the same thing she's interested in.
Yeah. Well, I was sent off to boarding school as well, and I do remember a sadness.
How old were you?
Well, I was in my second year of grade 8.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you were fairly young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My last year there, it burned down.
Were you homesick? No. Did you do it?
That's all I'm allowed to say.
You'd have to kill me, right? were you homesick? Did you start to say you were homesick?
Dreadfully, yeah. I didn't realize how much I missed home until, of course, you know, the old adage. It's not there anymore, but...
Did they rescue you and bring you home, or did they make you stay?
Oh, no, I was allowed, actually, to go back on weekends, but I remember that Sunday night dinner... So it was a very different in your choice, because you were really shipped off. But I remember the Sunday night dinner... And it was so dark for me. I just felt a darkness come over my soul. I couldn't enjoy Sunday night dinners, and because I knew after dinner I was to get in the car and driven back to boarding school again. You know?
Boy, I really know what you're talking about. I really do. That heavy, heavy heart.
Yeah.
I used to plead with my parents, just sobbing. I'd pray to God that I could break my leg or something just so that I wouldn't have to go back. And it was quite lovely, because we were living in Austria at the time, in this tiny little village, and it was really Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Even though I cried and shook. But, you know, it was quite lovely. And then boarding school in those days was a little bit Dickens-esque.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer that way.
No.
I've revisited it recently, not recently, but in the last 10 years with my husband and my son. And I thought, my God, why was I so unhappy here? This is absolutely beautiful.
I know. Perspective is a beautiful thing.
Exactly.
So born in Washington in 19-something, you were the oldest mm-hmm. of six, I believe. Let me see if I've got the names right here. Michael, Gretel, Susie, Sabra, Dorrit, Philippa.
Right. That's it. And I have a brother named Tarquin.
And what was your brother's name?
Tarquin.
What is with these names?
Named after a pharaoh. Don't ask me. A lot of martinis, I think.
Of course, you have three sons, Ernie, Chip, and Robbie. No, wrong, my three sons.
Bob, John, and Peter.
Right.
No.
Right.
Caleb, Chris, and Luke.
Bruce and Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce and Betty Elizabeth Learn. You know, Elizabeth shortened to Betty. Bruce and Betty were your parents. The most interesting thing that I found out about you, and I had to call the CIA for
this
approval.
This is a little creepy here. This is a little bit creepy.
I had to call the CIA for approval on this.
Okay.
Was he a legit spy in Austria for what is now known as the CIA? Is that true?
Yes. He was.
Wow.
I don't know what he was doing, and I suspect it's probably still secret. I vaguely know what he was doing, but I probably shouldn't talk about it. And I didn't know at all at the time until we were leaving Austria. My mother sat me down and said, I'm going to tell you a life and death secret. And if you tell anybody, it could kill your father. So I learned how to keep secrets at a very early age, yeah. And it was the OSS then, I believe, and later became the CIA. So off and on, he worked most of his life for the government, yeah.
You really felt that your mother should have been something else other than a housewife.
Have you been going through my files? Huh?
That's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, most of those women, including myself in those days, you know, that whole awful 50s Mad Men time when women were pretending to be less than they were so that men could pretend to be more than they were, if that sounds a little bitter, it is bitter because it was fraudulent, you know, and my poor mother had, you know, she was an only child. She had six of us, six girls, can you imagine? And she was gallant. Always felt she should have been a designer or somehow had a career that was, she was so creative and so smart, but she was a housewife. And who likes housework? I hate it, personally. I do it because I like a nice, clean place, but, mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't very scintillating for her, which is why my father took us to Europe so that she could not have to do that.
Well, I do my own research because I don't have a life, so creeping on other people is what I do. But you're
actually, you know, I have a fan who has done my entire family tree. God bless her for nothing as a gift.
Wow!
And you know, if she hadn't done that, I wouldn't know anything. She knows more about my family than I do. And at first, I thought it was creepy, but then I met her, and I'm very grateful. And she's a lovely woman.
Of your own three...
No, you're not creepy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Last thing I need is another restraining order. You know what I mean? You have your own three sons. Which one do you love the most?
Oh, please.
Come on.
Can't ask that question.
Come on.
I would say my youngest was my easiest baby because I was probably a better mother by then.
Right.
But I love them all. They're each so different. So you love each one in a different way.
And of all the Walton children, because by the way, that was a television show I believe you're on. Is that right? What was it called again? The Waltons.
It was called The Waltons.
Yeah,
it's really a rather strange name, don't you think?
It is. Well, I grew up with great friends, Andy and Larry Walton. They're twins.
Really?
And so that name has been part of my life for a long time.
But yeah, of all of your, I don't know why it just struck us as kind of the Waltons. I don't know why. We just thought it was sort of an odd name, but anyway.
So of all of your Walton children, Which one did you like the most?
I can't say. I really can't. I'm very close to Richard. Mm-hmm. I just did a thing in Missouri. I did a little speech in Missouri, and Cammy was there, and I just felt such deep affection for her. I do for all of them. I guess I'm closest to Mary McDonough because she's closest to everybody in that she's the one that kind of keeps us all together. But they're all, I mean, I was blessed, frankly. I don't think I could have stood pouring coffee for 9 years if I hadn't liked the people I was pouring coffee for.
Yeah, yeah. Would you like some more coffee?
I mean?
Would you like some more coffee? Would you like some more coffee?
Yeah, more coffee, John? Yeah. More coffee, Grandma? More coffee? You know. Bad kids. And then what happened? And then what did he say? Yeah, it was me.
But it was a real gift you had, pouring coffee.
Yes, it was. It was it saved my life, actually. I think I was so lost that it stabilized me. It got my kids through private school, and I got a second family out of it, which is a true gift.
Of all the Walton kids, there must have been a kind of one of them that was a real pain, though. And I'm thinking it would be Judy. Hey, she's got a.
Judy
she must have been a real pain. Huh?
Judy was adorable, but she was very. Judy's a very strong. Do you know she jumps out of airplanes?
She does not.
Did you know all that? Have you done your research on her, too?
She jumps out of airplanes?
Yes, she does things like that.
So she must have a bit of a mental health problem, then, I guess.
No, I think she's probably very sane, but she's kind of keeps to herself a little bit, but she's always, I go and listen to her. Whenever she's singing, we all go, and we're very supportive of each other. It's, you know, it sounds so smarmy, but it really isn't. I mean, we just really have so much fun together, all of us. I don't think you can fake that on television. You know,
you can't
fake that kind of chemistry.
What's Judy's full name again?
Judy Norton.
Yeah, Judy Norton.
In fact, she's been married almost as many times as I
Come on now. Now you're telling tales here. Let me ask Judy. Judy, how many times have you been married?
I'm married to a Canadian. I know that.
Judy, how many times have you been married?
I'm not counting. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you?
Well.
Who is this?
It's Judy.
Judy, sweetheart, where are you?
I'm fine.
Happy where are birthday you?
Early. I'm in St. Louis.
Sweetheart.
Yeah.
Tammy and I were just there in Marshfield. There are a lot of fields in Missouri.
Excuse me.
Yeah,
Springfield. Excuse me. Do you mind if I kind of come back into the conversation here? Do you guys want to?
Well, if you must.
I would like to let everyone know that being the good sport she is, Ms. Michael Learned did not know that we were going to have one of her television children call in during the show, Judy Norton, to say Happy Mother's Day to her television mama. Hello, Judy.
Hi.
What a nice
you
thing.
You were really trying to sucker Michael into saying something mean about.
I tried so hard to throw you under the bus, Michael. I really did.
I know, but it didn't work, did it?
No, because everything she said is true, that we really do love each other. And you know, I'm sad to hear I'm not her favorite, but you know.
I didn't say that, honey. I just said that I know Mary better because she's the one that keeps us all together. And she does.
She does.
Oh, you guys are funny. Judy and...
she's our hub.
Judy and Michael, you both have a thing for Canadians, and I'd like you to explain that, please. Judy, could you go first?
Well, I've done quite a lot of work in Canada, and so, yes, my son's father was Canadian, or is Canadian, and I lived up there for 10 years, so, I'm very fond of Canada and have a lot of attachments to it.
I would like you to prove your love for Canada at this point in time, please. Could you tell us the most famous coffee shop up here?
The most famous coffee shop?
Yeah, it ain't Starbucks.
Gosh, I haven't lived there for like 14 years, so.
Tim Hortons is the name of the coffee shop up here.
Oh, okay. They didn't have coffee shops when I lived there.
Yeah. No. They didn't even have coffee back then.
I like Tim Hortons. They have great, you know, like muffins and biscuits and, you know. Yeah. Oh, they serve coffee?
Where did you live when you were up here, Judy?
I was in based in Maple Ridge, up in, you know, in Vancouver.
BC? Yeah,
in BC. Yeah, but I worked in Edmonton, Calgary, Winnipeg, you know, Saskatchewan. So yeah, I was kind of all over.
Wow, you really stayed out west. That's crazy. You know, the number one pickup line in Winnipeg is "Hey, baby, nice tooth."
Oh no. That's bad.
I'm a jerk.
Awful.
And Michael, what's with your Canadian connection? I understand you spent a little time in Stratford, the home of Justin Bieber.
Yes, my kid's father is Canadian, Peter Donat, and we lived in Toronto for quite a few years. And when we first were married, we lived in New York, but we'd go to Stratford every summer. Peter would be in the company, and then eventually, I was too. And, you know, so to me, whenever I come back to Stratford, I guess because it was in my youth and when my kids were little and I thought Peter and I were going to be married forever, you know, I always feel a sort of sense of coming home. I'm getting all emotional here, but it's Canada for me is a very sacred place. I love it. And I worked there a lot, too, like Judy in Edmonton. I've worked in Toronto, and I've worked. And I'm going up to Petrolia to do Driving Miss Daisy.
Well, listen, we're not at the point of the interview where we're ready to plug your performances okay?
Yeah, but I'm learning how to do that.
By the way, just in case our listeners are not aware of this, first of all, it's a Walton family reunion here on the Drew Marshall Show. It's a Mother's Day special. One of the most famous mothers in the world on the phone with us, Miss Michael Learned. And by the way, do we have to keep calling you Miss because the whole Michael thing, that's just overdone, isn't it? Can we just not call you Michael Learned?
Or Granny Mikey or whatever you want.
What do you call it?
That is what my father called me.
Okay.
My grandkids call me Granny Mikey.
I'm not calling you that because you could have dated Tom Selleck, so I'm not calling you Granny Mikey.
Okay. All right. My husband said, I can't believe I'm married to a grandmother.
Judy Norton also on the phone with us, who of course played Mary Ellen. But Judy, you have gone on to great and wonderful things in your career as well. And this is plug time for you because we're going to say goodbye to you shortly. And what honestly, a very cool little thing for you to phone in and surprise Michael. So thank you because I know you're busy. So thank you very much for that. What's happening in your world? Can people follow you, spend money on you, buy stuff, coffee, mugs, keychains? What do you got? Frisbees?
I have a CD that I released last fall.
She's a beautiful, beautiful singer. Sorry,
thank
Judy.
You, Michael.
You are. You're
yeah,
too gorgeous.
Well, the show that you came to see, that we recorded that, and so there's a live CD of that, and that's available digitally through like iTunes, Amazon, or if people would like a hard copy that's autographed personally, then they can order that through my website, judynorton.com. So people can go to my website and order the CD if they like. It's like Broadway and show tunes, all Great American Songbook.
All right, let's have a little listen to your voice here on the show. Have a listen to this, folks. Judy Norton. Ooh, beautiful sustain, lovely resonance. All right, so I need to get this CD. I had no idea. Like, I knew you were a talented young lady, but I didn't know that you were talented in every area of the entertainment industry.
Oh, well, that's very kind. I've been fortunate, you know, and as an actor, as I'm sure Michael knows, you know, you spend a lot of time waiting for the phone to ring. So I just started looking for other things to do. And so I started, you know, I'd always loved singing, so I started doing musical theater and then concerts, and then I got into writing, and I've just had, last fall, my second film that I wrote was produced, and hopefully that'll be out this year.
Do you have a web series too, Judy?
I have a web series that's just about to be released up in Canada, on VTV up in Alberta. So that'll be launching probably about the 1st of June, called Disorganized Zone. I've been doing writing and directing as well as acting. I'm going out this summer to Texas to do write and direct a show called American Pride, and then I'm starring in Hello, Dolly down in Galveston.
Good.
So Keeping busy.
I think, personally, Michael, just hold on a second. I know it usually is all about you, but we'll be right back to you in a second. Judy Norton, of course, Mary Ellen on the phone with us, Mary Ellen Walton. Judy, your biggest claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned, is kissing Richard Dawson 27 times during the Family Feud.
Well, someone had to do it, and it was, if there's a record, why not go after it? Skydiving records, I needed another one,
What was it again? You guys were up against the Dukes of Hazzard, I think.
Yeah, and we got smoked. We really sucked. I'm usually pretty good at game shows, but that was not our day.
How old would you have been at that point in your life?
Oh, I don't know, maybe... 20-ish, 22 or something. Yeah, like that. Yeah, I don't really remember.
Well, it was an unfair. It was an unfair advantage. It was all the kids against all the oldies, right? I mean, the other side was sponsored by Geritol. It was unbelievable. So, well, listen, again, thank you, Judy. I know we've kept you a little long on the phone here, but what a pleasure to have you crash this conversation and surprise Michael. Do you guys want to have a little moment before we say goodbye?
Oh, Michael, you're not in town, or you are in town, or you're...
I'm in L.A., yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's have lunch when I get back.
Such an L.A. thing to say.
Overdue. I know. I'll have my people call your people, and they can have lunch.
Yeah. All my people.
Yeah. Judy, thank you so much. Happy Mother's Day to all of you, your family, and your I know very little. I spent all my time creeping on Michael. I don't know anything about you, Judy.
I have one son who's almost 20, so yeah.
All right. Well, happy Mother's Day, Judy.
Well, thank you. And Michael, love you, and it was lovely to have a couple moments with you, and I hope you have a lovely Mother's Day, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, sweetie. You too.
Bye-bye, Judy. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, do you hate me, Michael?
No. I just love Judy so much. She's so beautiful. She has a lovely voice, and she never stops working. My hat's off to her. She's always working on something. And she's always just a doll.
Yeah. Yeah.
She really is. There's not a bad apple in the bunch. Never was. We had a spat now and then, but we always fixed it up. I remember once Ralph and I had a little argument about something, and I went and knocked on his dressing room and said, we have to make up because we have a scene coming up, and I can't do it if we're mad at each other. He just held out his arms and hugged me, and on we went,
Yeah.
And we were like a family.
That's a tough loss, losing Ralph not too long ago. Ralph Waite, of course.
Yep.
There's a guy who had his own darkness that he had to process over the years, but, I mean, losing two daughters of his own, come on.
Yep, he had his demons. Yes, he did. But he was a complicated man, but someone I loved very deeply, and he really, all the scenes that he and I did together were all driven by Ralph.
Yeah.
And all I did was react to what he gave me.
But that's what you're supposed to do. That's good acting.
Yeah, well, he made it easy.
Sure, sure.
He really did.
Well, if I understand things right, Olivia Walton was not really you. From what I've heard,
Now we're going to go there, aren't we?
Oh, we're going there.
Okay, go ahead.
From what I've heard, your mother could use the F word and make it sound like pass the tea, please.
Good heavens, where did you get that? Yes, I do have a potty mouth. And yes, she did. I mean, I grew up with it. It wasn't a big deal to me. And so I've had to learn with my grandchildren. Of course, now they use that word more than I do. Hmm. But when they were little, my children would say, Mom, could you please watch your mouth around the grandkids? So I tried very hard, but every now and then I would let something slip, and,
sure.
And that was always the high point of their day. Granny Mikey said, whatever.
You were also raised to have very good manners as well.
How do you know that? Could
listen,
not. I'm getting nervous here.
It's my job.
I'm actually very impressed, and it's wonderful.
I only do a show once a week. I got a lot of time in my hands.
I doubt it. But, gee, okay. Yes,
so,
I was.
So who said, don't quit the show, get therapy?
Oh, that was Jane Earl Hamner's wife.
Because you made the guy behind the Waltons, you drove him into therapy, Michael.
I did. He called me up one day and he said, I want to take you to lunch. I want to thank you for something. And I said, what? And he said, no, I'm not telling you. I'm taking you. Actually, he took me to dinner at Orso's in New York. I was working there and he was visiting, I guess, doing business or something. And so he took me to dinner and he said, I said, so what? What are you thanking me for? And he said, I want to thank you for getting me into therapy. Oh, my gosh. I just about died. I felt terrible. He's the sweetest man in the world. And I'm so grateful to that show and to him. But at the time, I was a little off-center, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I had just come from playing Private Lives and Cleopatra and in the theater. And
yes.
I guess there was something in the script, and I'd written, this is BS, or maybe even stronger than that.
Right.
And I sent it to the producer, who then gave it to Earl, which was not my intention ever. But unfortunately, Earl was so upset, he came home that day, he was going to quit the show. This is what he told me. And his wife said, don't quit the show, get therapy. And that's what he did. And he thanked me for it. And he meant it.
Yeah. I've had people say the same thing to me.
What, don't quit the show, get therapy?
Yep.
Is it rough to do a show like yours? Is it hard?
Not really. I'm just
I'm
a princess.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're a good princess.
Let's talk about this special event. Miss Michael, you will be hitting the Victoria Playhouse in Petrolia, Ontario,
mm-hmm.
July 27th, 28th, and 29th, I believe.
Yeah. I'm really nervous about it.
Are you?
But because
why?
Believe it or not, the idea of sitting there and talking about myself for an hour and having people pay to hear it is kind of nerve-wracking. And so I keep talking to David Hogan and David Rogers, two people I adore beyond words and love working with and for. I keep saying, couldn't it be more about the work than about me and the people I've met and worked with who are really interesting people? So, you know, trying to put that together so that it isn't just, and then I went, and then I got divorced, and then I got remarried, and then I this and that and the other, you know. So I trust them, and we're going to try to work something out that hopefully will be personal, but be personal in terms of the work, because I've had the great good fortune to work on a lot of wonderful things with really stellar people. So we'll see. I really have no idea what it's going to be yet. But I have no problem. I have no secrets really, and I have no problem talking about what a mess I was when I got the Waltons. It doesn't bother me, but because I'm not a mess anymore.
No.
Well, maybe if you talk to my husband, he might disagree, but. Basically, my life is pretty terrific, and I made a few mistakes in marriages, but I learned from them, and I'm married to a fabulous man now, and we've been together 27 years, and I'm very happy. I have a wonderful life.
Good. Congratulations. Again, Victoria Playhouse. Google it, folks.
It's such a wonderful theater, we get to mingle with the patrons who come, and it's a very warm and friendly place, and David, the two Davids, we always go out and meet the audience afterwards. And when Ralph and I did Love Letters, he didn't want to meet the audience. He's a very shy man, and you know, the first night they had to really kind of elbow him out. And after that, when he saw how heartfelt people were about the show and how humble people were, you know, with their treasures from, you know, these awful game shows, Walton's games and stuff. But there they were with tears in their eyes, and Ralph was so tremendously moved by it, and then he couldn't wait to go out every night after the show.
Well, I think,
you know, people are very, very kind. Most of the people who watch that show are people who either didn't have that kind of a childhood, and so they got to vicariously have a family life with them,
mm-hmm.
or they were people who did have that childhood and got to relive a happy childhood.
But little did they know that Ralph Waite, Mr. Walton, and Will Gear, Grandpa, mooned you all the time.
They did. They did. I saw more of Will Gear's ass than
Oh, you're funny. You are a funny lady. I think this is going to be a fantastic time over in Petrolia, Ontario, ladies and gentlemen, at the Victoria Playhouse. You got to go to this. Got to go to this. Find them online, and it's pretty easy that way instead of handing out all the websites and the address and blah, blah, blah.
It's nearest to Sarnia, if people want.
Yes, close to Sarnia. Yeah. There you go. There.
I hope they'll come and see Driving Miss Daisy as well. I love that play, and I've done it several times, and each time it's a whole new experience, and I'm doing it with a wonderful Canadian actor. Two wonderful Canadian actors, the man who's playing Hoke has never done that part before, so it will be starting fresh for both of us.
Good stuff.
Wonderful.
Good stuff. No, this is actually quite an event, and I hope our listeners show up in droves, because this lady's come a long way from driving a station wagon with a frozen orange juice lid for a gas cap.
That's right. My goodness, my dear old Volvo, which was made in Canada, by the way, and purchased in Canada.
You know, in 2000, now this is something on Wikipedia, and I want to know if this is true, just before we say goodbye here, because you've got to go, and I want to be mindful of the time. In 2002, it says, there's a 2002 article that you wrote for Daily Word, a publication of Unity Church. You stated that at the time, you were cast in the Waltons, you had hit rock bottom. It was then, at the age of 32, that you realized you were an alcoholic, taking herself to ex-husband Peter Donut's cabin on the California coast. You decided to get sober, and your time there was the beginning of a spiritual journey. Is that accurate?
Yeah, by spiritual, I don't mean religious.
No.
I mean, yeah. I think any journey into yourself is spiritual.
Yeah.
And to finally to losing your illusions about yourself and others is often very painful, and illuminating at the same time. So that was kind of what those 10 days were about. I'd never been able to be alone comfortably, and I was alone. I did a lot of walking and thinking and writing and crying, and you know, it was. An amazing time, actually.
But I read another article that said you went and visited the priest from the Catholic place behind you where you grew up.
Oh, well, I grew up on a farm, and behind us was a seminary. It's no longer there.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely beautiful. And every Sunday, we would, in our blue jeans, we'd climb over the fence, and they would take us into a private room and teach us catechism. We'd go home and say to my father, I'd say, well, a priest said yada, yada, and he would say, that's BS.
Right.
And I'd go back the next Sunday and say, my dad said. And the priests loved us because we challenged them, you know.
Yeah.
And
But do you remember praying? Do you remember praying for something? Remember that bicycle, the Schwinn bike that you really wanted? And
yeah, I remember Father Coffey. He said, your prayers are always answered. And I said, yeah, but I prayed for a bike, and I didn't get it. And he said, well, sometimes the answer is no.
Yeah.
Which I thought, even as a kid, I thought, that's good. That's very good.
Smooth.
They were good. Those guys were great.
I mean, I am host of Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show, and I struggle with it. I struggle with believing. I've realized that doubt is more compatible with faith than certainty is. I used to be a certainist.
We all struggle with it. I think Mother Teresa struggled with
it.
Yes, yeah. I think Teresa of Avila struggled with it. I think it's an ongoing. But I know it's funny that we're having this conversation today, because in the last few days I felt very separated from my faith, which is my own personal faith. Mm-hmm. Has nothing to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe I was guided back when I got the Waltons. I don't know how I did what I did in the shape that I was in at the time, and somehow I was led to that show, which has affected many lives, not that I have, but the show did and still is, and it got me sort of grounded and began my journey into finding out who the heck I was, because I was married at 17. I didn't have a clue.
And you weren't even pregnant.
And I wasn't even pregnant, thank heavens, because I know my grandmother's friends were all counting. When you're married that young, they think for sure it was a shotgun wedding, which it was not. And I think my mother just knew I was a wild card and that she wanted me to be safe. And in a way, my kids were my rock. I'm looking at them right now, a picture of the three of us in front of our house in Toronto, and they're all little. And I adored my kids, and still do. I mean, they were really the joy of my life.
Well, you are an intriguing woman. You really are. I mean, Gunsmoke, Nurse, St. Elsewhere, Murder, She Wrote, Who's the Boss, Law and Order, SVU, Scrubs, Cold Case. And then there's all the soap operas, All My Children, One Life to Live, General Hospital, Y&R. But here's the thing that blows my mind. Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Did you see it?
No.
No. Honest answer. Yeah, I played a sort of his racist mom.
How can Mrs. Walton play a racist mother in Dragon, the Bruce Lee story?
Well, a lot of people, I think, thought the Waltons was racist, but it wasn't really. It was just the way it was in those days, you know, in rural Virginia. In fact, there was a show where we take in a little African-American boy, and we can't keep him because it just wasn't done.
No.
And I thought that was very honest of Earl to write that story. And in it, he and John Walton, this boy and John Walton, had a special connection. And John Walton has to take him to Verdi Grant, who is a black woman. And Ralph walks away, and he never looks back, which I love. I hate it when people look back. And, you know, you could just see in his back, the way Ralph was walking, that he was tormented and terribly sad. But that's the way it was in those days, unfortunately.
Well, Michael, thank you. You've given us a great amount of time. I know you've got to go. Let me tell everyone the website, michaellearned.com, michaellearned.com. Of course, please, folks, head out to see her in Petrolia, Ontario, the Victoria Playhouse. Celebrate, really. It's everyone. You're everyone's favorite TV mom. You really are. Driving Miss Daisy as well, or you know, the conversation, the intimate gathering in conversation with Michael Learned in July, I believe. Is that correct? 27th, 28th, and 29th?
Yeah, we open in June and then with Driving Miss Daisy, and then we close the end of July with conversations. Yeah.
Well, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time, and you've just made our Mother's Day special.
Oh, thank you. You're a wonderful interviewer, so get therapy, don't quit.
Okay. Well said. Well said. Thank you, Michael. Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun. That was fun.
That I thought would never end. I seen love.